mean, what one of the things that occurs to me with sound and voice specifically is this idea of, you know, the disappearance of the interface. And, you know, that's a quite a specific audio phenomenon. You described it to us once recently as touchlessness, the tendency of the interface to sort of disappear, in the way in which COVID and the pandemic context and ideas of hygiene are sort of accelerating that kind of that discourse. And it seems like touchlessness and voice are quite a specific subset that have their own sort of politics and biases baked in.
I mean, the stuff on touchlessness came out of, you know, spending some time looking at the facial recognition technology and then watching them pivot in response to the pandemic moment. And, you know, they saw this immediately as an opportunity. And the opportunity was a whole range of kind of transactional and informational interfaces that rely on some form of physical contact in a moment when physical contact was stigmatized because of its relationship to contagion. And so I was at an NEC online conference. That's their big developer of, among other things, facial recognition technology. And they're coming up in partnership with other commercial providers with a range of, you know, touchlessness solutions. And because of the way in which, and you know, this is, I guess, again, thinking about the affordances of the different sensory technologies, but you know, they saw facial recognition as providing solutions to touchlessness. So everything from a security room where you know, you may have had to do a fingerprint or a card swipe, replacing that with facial recognition, to access to mass transit, to access to stadiums, to, you know, clearance for entrance to buildings. All of those could be transposed into facial recognition register. So shopping was one of the big ones. You know, you don't have to touch those dirty screens that others have touched. And, you know, I think there's a deeper tendency here that it's probably worth noting. It's something I spent some time in automated media kind of going on a screed about. But it's the kind of antisocial fantasy of digital media technologies. And the pandemic moment really, and you know, that gets phrased in, you know, I don't know, certain kind of popular discourses around, you know, like, does Facebook depress you or that? But it's not really at that level that I'm thinking about it. It's more on the level of what it means to see oneself is kind of hermetic sphere and others as potential threats to that hermeticism. It's been really interesting to see all of the discourses around the dirtiness of the other, right? Like the, you know, here are the particles that come out of the mouth, here are the things that they leave, here's what happens when they flush the toilet. It's like some really, you know, nasty embodied, like just wherever we go, we leave these organic particles that are potentially contaminants. And it reminds me a little bit of, you know, futurist Ray Kurzweil, his kind of scorn for the flesh. You know, like, yeah, you know, the thing about proteins are is that, you know, they're like really temperature sensitive and, you know, very fragile. Like carbon polymers are much better. So if we could, you know, upload ourselves into carbon polymer, you know, like the flesh is dirty and weak and mortal and, you know, yuck. And that really fits with a particular tech aesthetic, right? You know, like the clean machine. But I think of those early days, you know, going back when I started reading about digital media, of the all of the fantasies that were socially hermetic. You can live, and they were very privileged, right? You know, you can live in your mountain cottage and never leave. And anytime, like for work, you just zip on your corporate virtual workspace. This was a thing, the corporate virtual workspace. And, you know, you'd find yourself in a haptic space with virtual reality, and, you know, not that different from what we're doing now, right? But you know, still a few dimensions extra.